Christ. Rick told me this morning I had preached a long time last year. It's going to be a long time this morning, too. No, hopefully. So I'm really, really glad. It's so much fun standing out there in the foyer and visiting with you guys. And you guys really have a really sweet fellowship here. So I'm really glad to be back with you guys. I want to thank Pastor Smith and the elders for giving me this opportunity to come and share God's word. So before I get into this morning's message, I wanted to read a couple promises from God's word about meeting with God. So in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, God says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." So God's promise is to show us great and mighty things when we call out to him. James 4:8, probably a very familiar passage, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to us." And his promise to us is if we draw near to him, that he will draw near to us. And in Hebrews 11:6, one of my favorite verses, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So God makes the promise that he will reward us when we diligently seek him. And I think that's why we're here this morning, right? We want to seek God. We want to draw near to God. We want to worship God. And so can we just take a moment and let's pray? So, Father, we are just so excited to be in your house. We thank you, Father, for your people. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping you. Foremost of all, we just thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died on the cross for our sins. He shed his blood. Thank you that he rose again. We thank you for the new life that you've given to us. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for the body of Christ. I just thank you, Father, for your word. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us soft and tender hearts to be obedient to all that you ask us to say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, so when you came in this morning, you may have received a little booklet. You guys received a little booklet? Well, I hope you have one. If not, there's some extra ones out there. You also, maybe there's some notes in your bulletin. Kind of look like that, so I hope you have some notes in your bulletin. I'm encouraging you to go ahead and take notes this morning. This is not a very big podium, is it? I got too much stuff here. Just a second. All right, So this morning's message is sharing the gospel. And I'm going to be talking about or answering four questions. And first question is, what is the gospel? Second question, why share the gospel? Third question, what are some obstacles to sharing the gospel? And then fourth question, how do you share the gospel? And at the very end, there's going to be an application where we can write down some names of people that we can pray for and go to them and share the gospel with them. So would you turn at the beginning here to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Probably a very familiar verse, Romans chapter 1. And I'm actually going to be reading it several times, emphasizing a couple different words. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Let me just read it a few more times. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Paul certainly believed in his mission, that is to proclaim the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. So the question, Rand, really is, what is the gospel? There it is. 2 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's a summary of the gospel, but it really leads to asking some questions. The question is, why did Christ die? Well, the verse says that he took the, that Christ died for our sins. So why did Christ die? He took the punishment for our sins. We deserve the death punishment. We deserve, the scripture says, for the wages of sin is death. So why did Christ die? He took our punishment. What does this tell us about God? That he loves us. And now he'll do whatever he can to make us right with himself. What does this tell us about Christ? Is that he is the sinless Son of God, because only a perfect sacrifice could take away our sins. What was the method used for Christ's death? And that was the shedding of his blood. And why was it necessary for Christ to die? Because the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So I put that gospel message, those truths, in a paragraph. The gospel is the good news that God so loved the world. He loves each one of us with a perfect, unconditional love. He wants us to know him, to love him, to serve him, and to enjoy his blessings in our lives now and for all eternity. But our sin separates us from a holy God. We deserve punishment for our sins. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. But God, who greatly loves us, sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, who lived a life without sin to save us. Jesus chose to go to the cross, taking the punishment for our sins that we fully deserve. He shed his blood, died, was buried, and then 3 days later, rose again, declaring victory over sin and death, and giving us the opportunity to be made right with the holy God. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God who takes away our sins. Jesus then ascended into heaven, where he is now interceding for us, the saints, and preparing a home for those of us who have placed our faith in his atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's really good news, isn't it? That's the gospel. So why should we share the gospel? I want to give you four reasons why we should share the gospel. Would you turn in with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, starting at verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" The first reason why we should share the gospel is because Christ commanded us to. He said to go and make disciples of all the nations. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." We are spokespersons for Christ. Christ could have used any other method of sharing the gospel, but he chose to partner with you and I in sharing the gospel. And aren't you glad somebody shared the gospel with you? I'm thrilled that my mom at 4 years old shared the gospel with me. So first reason why we should share the gospel is because Christ commands us to. Second reason is because those who are apart from Christ are lost and perishing. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned," you can finish the rest, right? and fall short of the glory of God. People are lost and perishing who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, Scripture says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If you go out there and ask, take a survey of 100 people and ask them, what's going to happen to you when you die? The number one answer is, well, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. And you ask them, why do you think you're going to go to heaven? Most people say, I'm a pretty good person. But the scripture is very, very clear that apart from Christ, we are not pretty good persons. Matter of fact, let me just read to you what scripture declares, or how scripture declares the person that is apart from Christ. It says that they are dead in trespasses and sins. They walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. They are sons of disobedience. They fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. They are children of wrath. They are children of the devil. They are of the night and of the darkness. They have a futile mind. Their understanding is darkened. They are alienated from the life of God. So God's perspective of mankind without Christ is pretty hopeless. So we need to share the gospel, first of all, because God commands us to. Second, because people are lost and perishing. Third reason is because people that are separated from Christ, those who are separated from Christ, are unable to save themselves. Would you turn with me your Bibles to Titus chapter 3? Am I making you guys work this morning? A little bit? Titus chapter 3. Those apart from Christ are unable to save themselves. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. There's absolutely nothing you and I can do to save ourselves. Coming to church is a great thing, but that doesn't save us. Reading our Bibles is a great thing, but that doesn't save us. Being nice to your neighbors and mowing your neighbor's lawn. You guys have grass here? Okay, I just didn't know. You guys are laughing. Maybe you don't have grass here. Being nice to your neighbor, that doesn't save you. Doing all kinds of religious stuff, that doesn't save you. Those who are apart from Christ are unable to save themselves. And fourth, the reason why we should share the gospel is because we have a love and compassion for other people. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And what is the greatest act of love is to share the gospel with our neighbors. So those are some reasons why we should share the gospel. How about some obstacles that we may encounter in sharing the gospel? An obstacle is a nice word that I'm going to use other than excuse. So these are things that I'm going to be pointing to myself, because these are excuses or obstacles that I've used when Christ has asked me to share the gospel. So maybe some of you guys can relate to some of these. What are some obstacles or excuses? Fear. You know, fear of what others will say about me. Fear of losing my job or being reprimanded. Fear of not being liked. But I'm so thankful in Scripture, Christ the Word of God mentions not to fear, that God is going to take care of us over and over and over again. Isaiah 41:10, God writes, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God says, don't fear. And I'm so thankful for Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, where he's asking the saints to pray, but But then he asks this for himself. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So even if we still have fear in our heart, we can pray along with Paul and say, God, help me to be bold in sharing the gospel. So one obstacle may be fear. Another obstacle may be lack of knowledge. How do I share the gospel? Well, hopefully after this morning, we'll all know how to share the gospel. But another thing that I've thought of, what if I'm sharing the gospel and somebody asks me a question that I don't know the answer to? Then I'm going to look kind of stupid, right? So we know Scripture says that we do need to prepare and we do need to study. In 1 Peter it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. So we need to be out there and we need to be preparing to share the gospel. But even if we don't know the answer, somebody asks us a question, I think a logical response would be, you know, that's a great question. Let me go home. Let me do some research and let me get an answer for you. So that's one obstacle I've used before. I've used time a lot of times. You know, God is asking me to do something. I say, I just don't have time right now to do that. Or asking me to go share Christ with somebody. You know, I got this appointment, or I got to go meet my wife or something. I've used time lots of times. But I think about the story in Acts chapter 8. Remember when Philip went down to Samaria, and it talks about the multitudes were coming to Christ, great things were happening, so much so that the apostles in Jerusalem heard what was happening in Samaria, and they sent Peter and John, you know, two bigwigs of the church, to see what was going down and to help them in Samaria. And then all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears to Philip and tells him to do what? Go out to a deserted place in Gaza, right? And Philip was obedient. So I think as we plan out our day in the morning, you know, we might look at our calendars and we say, well, I have these things going on. But Lord, if you have things for me to do today that aren't in my calendar, I'm just going to be obedient to whatever you ask me to do. So maybe be a little bit more flexible in our time. And another obstacle is hostility or opposition. You know, we just prayed for the voice of the martyr. There's Christians being persecuted all throughout the world. But you know, Jesus talked about persecution. He said, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So we shouldn't be surprised at the persecution that takes place when we stand up and share the gospel. But Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil falsely against you. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So those are some obstacles that we might need to overcome in sharing the gospel. So we looked at what is the gospel, why share the gospel, what are some obstacles, and now how do you share the gospel? Now, there's got to be thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of ways of sharing the gospel. One of the ways I enjoy sharing the gospel is handing out tracts. You know, there are thousands of tracts out there. They're so easy. You just put in your pocket, and you take them wherever you go. And I actually brought some tracts for you guys, so you guys can pick up some tracts on the way. I particularly like these Chick publications. You can go online. They have hundreds of different, and I'm not a Chick representative, by the way. And there's you can go online and look at their tracks and order tracks. And so wherever you go, you can just bring a track and share the gospel using a track. And I'm hoping you're taking notes because there's a story I want to tell you about a guy named Frank Jenner. You might want to write that down if you have a paper and pencil. Frank Jenner, he lived in Sydney, Australia, and he lived on a street named George Street. So if you Google Frank Jenner on George Street in Sydney, Australia, you'll see a video of this guy. He got saved, and he promised the Lord that he would share the gospel with at least 10 people every single day. So he would take a tract, and he would stand out on the street, and he would stand in front of people and say, "Do you know where you're going to go when you die, heaven or hell?" And he'd hand them a tract. And that's all he did. And he did that for years and years and years, and he never led anyone to the Lord. I don't want to ruin the video, the whole thing, but later on in his life, near the end of his life, he learned that hundreds of people had come to know Jesus, had become pastors, had become missionaries, and just simply from handing out a tract. There's also a friend of mine that is now in glory. His name is Mel Gerard. Like 50 years ago, he started a little ministry called Wayside Harvesters. And he too made a tract called Know Your Future. And he knew a couple pastors and a couple missionaries, and he started sending his tract to the people he knew. And over the years, it blossomed, and he was sending tracts all over the United States of America, South America, Africa. At the end of his life, his little ministry was sending hundreds of thousands of tracts all throughout these places. And he would write a newsletter that he would get letters from people who got saved and people who were requesting more tracts. And I remember this one story of a guy in Africa, and it says he was barefooted walking along a dirt road, and he saw a piece of paper on the ground. And he picked it up, and he got saved. And so he was writing to Mel and asking for more tracts so he could share the gospel with his friends. So you never know how God is going to use a little tract. So I do have tracts out there. You're free to take them. But I encourage you guys to find some tracts, stick them in your pocket, and wherever you go, just hand them out. So that's one way of sharing the gospel. Preaching, here I am. I shared the gospel. You can hear the gospel on the radio, television, internet. Songs, we sang the gospel songs this morning. How about Amazing Grace? What a beautiful song. I love How Great Thou Art. We can sing, we can share the gospel using songs. Visuals. There was a friend of mine. Don't look up there yet. I'm getting to him. There's a friend of mine. Oh, you're okay. Okay. No, you're fine, Emily. There's a friend of mine that there was this couple a couple years ago. They were making pots. They threw the clay on the wheel, they made the pottery, and through that, they shared the gospel. The other day, I wore a T-shirt to a basketball game, and it had 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 on the back, and a lady commented on it, a Christian lady, but I'm hoping other people were able to see the gospel message. When I was in high school, there was a bodybuilder that came to our high school, kind of looks like me. You're laughing? A little bit bigger than me. I believe he was like Mr. World or Mr. Atlas or something like that, but he used that opportunity to share the gospel. And then this is one of my favorite ones, Tim Tebow. You guys know Tim Tebow? I mean, you know, God has greatly used this guy. But this is a picture of his senior year. He played for the national championship. I think they won. I didn't look that up. They probably won, I don't know. But he wrote John 3:16 under his eyes, and I looked it up, and it said 92 million people that day Googled John 3:16. Wouldn't you love to be Tim Tebow? Maybe you can be. Another way, I love this. I love doing this. Thank you, Emily. Next slide. There we are. So we go up to McCall every once in a while, especially during the summers, like on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we stand there with a little sign that says free Bibles. And we put a tract in it, and we stand there, and we just stand on the corner, and we offer free Bibles. And God just does so amazing things. He shows up every single week just from handing out Bibles. We have conversations with people. We've had the opportunity to share the gospel and lead people to Christ. So I take some kids with me, and it's a great time. So if you're not doing anything this summer, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, around 7 o'clock or so, depends on camp schedule, I'd love to meet you on the corner of McCall, okay? But you can do it too. So there's lots of ways of sharing the gospel. Well, one of the most simplest ways that I've ever found to share the gospel is the wordless book. You guys have a wordless book with you right now? So I'm just going to take a few minutes and go through the wordless book. So there's five colors, and it's called the wordless book. Funny story, true story, I was sharing the gospel using the wordless book with a group of teenagers, and I asked them, do you know why it's called the wordless book? And one of the teenagers, one of the teenagers piped up and said, because it has no pictures. And I said, yeah, it has no pictures, but it's called the wordless book, okay? And it's really funny, the other three guys just hit their buddy. So anyway, so you can take this, you can put it in your pocket, and wherever you go, you can say to your neighbor, to your kids, whoever it is, hey, can I tell you a really cool story using this wordless book? So I'm going to start with the gold page, and the gold page reminds me of some things about God. Now, we're going to spend all eternity discovering who God is. But for the gospel's sake, there's some things we need to kind of share. First of all, that God is a God of love. Can you quote with me the first six words of John 3:16? For God so loves the world. He is a God of love. He loves us so much. Romans says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. He's also our creator, which means that we are responsible for him, and since he put us together, he knows what's best for us. So God is a God of love, he's a creator, and he's also holy, which means he's perfect in everything he does. So that's who God is. Mankind is represented on the dark page. We've already looked that man is a sinner, he is separated from God. There's nothing you and I can do to get rid of our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We stand before a holy God guilty, and we are in a hopeless and helpless situation because of our sin. The red page stands for the solution to our problem, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's perfect Son. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. Never sinned, never did anything wrong, and at just the right time, he chose to go to the cross. And there on the cross, he suffered, and he bled, and he died. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus makes us clean of all of our sins. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So Jesus died, he was placed in a tomb, but 3 days later, he rose again. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for he made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So the red page stands for the solution to our problem, the blood of Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again. And then the clean page represents standing being made clean and right with God, that he will forgive us of all of our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So God makes an offer to you and I that we can be clean and forgiven of all of our sin. And our responsibility, John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's a very simple tool that you can use to share the gospel. I love the stories in the New Testament about people repenting and coming to Christ. Remember the thief on the cross? Thieves on the cross. There was one on Christ's right and one on his left. And at first they were both mocking him. And then at one point, one of the thieves had a repentant heart. And he said to the other thief, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And indeed, we justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. So this thief on the cross acknowledged his own sin and the righteousness of Christ. And then remember the story of the two men who went up to the temple. It was a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee was bragging about all the good things he does, all the religious stuff he does. But the Pharisee was beating his chest and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said it was that man that went down to his house justified rather than the other man. So that's the gospel. That's the good news. This is a tool. And may I encourage you, if you have never, ever placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that very last verse, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Even in the quietness of your own heart right now, you can cry out to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So there's one other color, green. And for those of you who love Jesus, stands for growing. The Bible says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a number of ways we can grow. First of all, and it's going to spell G-R-O-W. G stands for go to church. And here you are. You're in church. Good job. So go to church. R stands for read your Bible and pray. The scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. O stands for obey. Obey God's word. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the last one is witness. Tell other people about Jesus. So whether you're doing it with a Bible, handing out a Bible or a tract or whatever method or lifting weights, just share the gospel. Well, I want to tell you two real quick stories. There was my wife and I taught this class on how to share the gospel using a wordless book. And one of the ladies, her name was Linda. She's a mother of two little girls. And she was excited to participate in sharing the gospel. So she took her wordless book home and she sat down in her closet with her little 7-year-old girl. She had never shared the gospel with her daughter. She didn't know how to do it. And she went through the colors and she shared the gospel with her daughter. And her daughter placed her faith in Jesus Christ. So Lita came back the following week, and still she was so excited that the very first person she had ever led to the Lord was her daughter. Well, God has worked in Lita's heart so much so that she is now the CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship Director, in the Coachella Valley, and she's teaching other people how to share the gospel using a wordless book. Then the other lady that came to our class, her name was Linda, and she was a hospice nurse. And she felt burdened to begin to share the gospel with her patients. And she shared the gospel with a number of her patients. She came back the following week, and she shared that an elderly man prayed to receive the Lord. And then she got a chance to share with his wife, and she too prayed to receive the Lord. So that's their stories, but I wonder what our stories are going to be. You know, God wants to use each one of us to share the gospel. So kind of in closing, at the back of your notes, there is an action plan. And In James, it talks about be doers of the word, not just hearers. So instead of just coming to church, hearing God's word, and then going out to lunch or whatever, God's word says that we need to do something about it. And there was also a story that Jesus told about two guys, a wise guy and a foolish guy. And one guy built his house on a rock, another guy built his house on the sand. And the rains came, the floods came. Remember that song, the rains came down? Remember that song? And the guy who built his house on the sand, you know what happened to his house, right? Got demolished. The guy who built his house on a rock, it stood firm. And the only difference between these two guys is Jesus said the guy who was wise, who built his house on a rock, is the one who heard God's word and did it. And he was the wise guy. The guy who heard God's word and didn't do it was the foolish guy. So we don't want to be fools, do we? We want to be wise. So there's an action plan in the back of your notes, and it says, who are you going to pray for and share the gospel with? So I'm going to encourage you, and there's some lines there. I'm going to encourage you in the next few seconds. I'm going to step back from the microphone. It's going to be kind of weird. I know it'll be silence in church. But I'm going to allow you to write down a few names, people that you want to take a gospel tract home to or share the wordless book with. So I'm just going to give you a few seconds just to write down some names. So that's the first part of the action plan, is you're going to take these names before your Heavenly Father and say, God, I'm just so burdened about these people, whether it's a family member, a neighbor, a coworker, God, I just want to see these people saved. But the second part is who will be praying with you? You know, Scripture talks about that we gather together to stir up one another for love and good works. And the body in Christ works together. And Jesus talks about where two or three have gathered together, there I am in the midst. And when we pray together, we bring our names before our Heavenly Father together. So what I'm going to encourage you when we're done with the service is to take your names that you've written down, find a few people, and say, hey, here's some names on my list. Would you pray with me for these people? And give me the names on your list, and I'll begin to pray for those people. So I encourage you to do that. There's one last slide I want to share with you. And it's a saying by Charles Spurgeon. And he says, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. So I'm going to take a minute, and I'm just going to hold up I have my six people that I'm praying for. And I'm just going to kind of hold them up to the Lord. If you've written down some names and you want to hold them up to the Lord, and we're just going to kind of close in prayer and pray for these people, okay? So, Father, we just thank you for the gospel message. Thank you that you love us so very much. And, Father, I just want to pray for the names on our list. We just hold them up before you. We pray, Father, that we intercede for these people, that your Holy Spirit would do a great work in their hearts. We pray, Father, for boldness and for opportunities to share the gospel with these people. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. All right. Thank you, guys.